Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Shall we pray? O kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to thee for this another day that thou hast spared our lives, for another night that thou hast allowed us to rest. We're thankful especially, Lord, for this institution, for what it means to us, for the things that we learn. We're thankful especially, Lord, for the ones that teach. But most of all, Lord, we're so thankful to thee for thy spirit as it enters our heart and lingers there as we attempt to go about our lives doing thy will. We're thankful, Lord, that thou hast blessed us in so many ways. We're thankful for our congregations back in our churches. We do pray that thou would watch over them this day, protect them from all harm. We pray that all of us, Lord, would just seek to do thy will in everything that we do. We pray that thou would bless us in this service. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand for our responsive reading as we read responsively selection number 7. It comes from the 92nd Psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous passages which express praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving to God. The essence of every act of praise is that in all circumstances, it declares the righteousness of God. Israel even knows praise from life's deepest moments. Indeed, it is God himself who gives these songs in the night. One only needs to reflect upon the hymns into which Job launches in his despair when face to face with the inaccessibility and the hiddenness of God. The thanksgivings of the Old Testament refer to events, actual events, the deliverance experienced in the lives of people. For Israel, the commandments signified more than just law. It was an event which God confronted his people. And seen in the context of event, it gives an inner motivation for the keeping of the commandments. Love for God and thankfulness to him, which then leads into full obedience to his will. Accordingly, in the Old Testament, thanksgiving always contains, in one form or another, an account of things that have actually taken place. Also in the thanksgivings recorded in the Old Testament, even while addressing God, there is the urgent desire to pass on to the community what has been experienced in the intimate depths of one's own personal life. It is as if deliverance is given to an individual in order that it be passed on, and indeed proclaimed to the community. And this reflects the truth that deliverance belongs not just to individuals, but within the community. It is here that one recognizes that only in the community of the faithful do knowledge of these interpretive events, redemptive events, and their glorification have their proper place. Here then, the reading of the Old Testament lesson. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent, which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then on that day, he first entrusted to the brethren the singing of thanks to the Lord as their chief task. O give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his doings among all people. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Meditate and talk of all his wondrous works, and devoutly praise them. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Yearn for and seek his face, and to be in his presence continually. Earnestly remember the marvelous deeds which he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. And be ye mindful of his covenant forever, the promise which he commanded and established to 1,000 generations, of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob, and to all Israel for an everlasting covenant. Sing to the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, and his marvelous works among all people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be reverently feared above all gods. Honor and majesty are found in his presence. Strength and joy are found in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endureth forever. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with great and goodly cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out, which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall reverently fear the Lord your God and serve him, and swear by his name and presence. And you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the peoples who are all around about you.
In a time of thanksgiving, the New Testament has much to say to us. The example that is recorded in the scriptures in the New Testament are examples that are very relevant to us today. And I'm sure you, along with me, can put yourself into this story. Jesus was coming near to Jericho, and a blind man was sitting and begging by the road. And when he heard the crowd passing, he asked, "What is this?" "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," they told him. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people in front scorned him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and ordered that the blind man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Sir," he answered, "I want to see again." Then Jesus said to him, "See, your faith has made you well." And at once he was able to see, and he followed Jesus, giving thanks to God. When the crowd saw it, they all praised God. Every day in our life, our eyes are open to new truth. And I believe this is our prayer today. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We have tried this morning to carry out the theme, Thanksgiving implies thanksgiving. I remind you of a portion of scripture that Mr. Grogan read, which comes from Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 14. When the Israelites came up from the desert and invaded the fertile lands of Syria, they took a most important step in human progress. The wonder of the change from a nomadic existence to great cities with houses filled with good things, cisterns, the vineyards, and olive trees lasted for centuries. But the author reminds Israel that others built this civilization. And only by God's grace and goodness had Israel come to it. They were then challenged to express true thanksgiving through thanksgiving, which was to be expressed by reverence, obedience, and service to God. Moses saw the Lord giving his people great and goodly things, and yet he seemed to fear that they would forget that all that had been received from the hand of God, and warns them against such forgetfulness. And there is a great truth here for us today. In the richness of our physical living, have we forgotten God? Do we feel secure and unminded of the giver? No nation or people can long endure when puffed by pride and a spirit of ingratitude. And I cannot help but feel that a warning such as this one given by Moses needs to be heard and proclaimed today. That we need to be challenged to express through true thanksgiving, through thanksgiving, characterized by reverence, obedience, and service to our God. And I feel that the Thanksgiving season is a wonderful time when multitudes throughout our nation have the opportunity to come together in a spirit of worship, praise, and gratitude. But the question is our thanksgiving to be limited to a season or a day? Is thanksgiving meaningful to our people today? And what are we as ministers doing to make it a meaningful time, not only one day of the year, but daily? In Christianity Today, November 1968, we find these words. For too many Americans, Thanksgiving is anything but. It is largely a day of feasting, football, and Santa Claus parades. God scarcely rates a few words of grace at the overladen table. But in genuinely Christian homes, there is, one hopes, a more sacred and meaningful celebration. But even here we find that the concept of gratitude has been steadily eroding. And the idea of thanksgiving has also been undermined by association with festivity, sentimentality, and pietistic veneer. Much of the sacredness has gone out of the celebration, and Christians are less and less aware that thanksgiving is a deep spiritual exercise. The biblical idea of thanksgiving is not only a day in November, but every day of the year. And the seed of gratitude has to be within us before it can grow. I feel that it is time, then, that we look beyond our problems and express our gratitude and blessings by thanksgiving. Have we forgotten today in our prosperity, in our busy schedules, in our world of rush, 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 that God is still challenging us to thanksgiving? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not to be thankful is to greatly grieve God. And God challenges us not only to be thankful, but challenges us as ministers to challenge our people to thanksgiving and thanksgiving, because we indeed have so much to be thankful for. Many things that we take for granted, such as our surroundings. Be thankful for our beloved nation. I may be wrong, but it seems that many are not thankful today. I challenge you to consider the Pilgrim Fathers, the Mayflower Compact, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and then contrast the United States with any other country. Then is this not a challenge to thanksgiving? As one has pointed out so wisely, many Americans, even today, are still bothered over the 68 elections. And yet then we are challenged, though, to be grateful that there was an election. And we live today in fear of nuclear war. But at the same time, we can be thankful that the world has been spared the horrors of the H-bomb. And we lament, and rightfully so, and yet we find that many protest over the prolonged bloody struggle in Vietnam. Be thankful that this conflict has not become World War III. We might just be better off, instead of so much criticism towards our leaders and towards our nation, if we would spend more time in sincere, dedicated prayer for them. In discouragement, we ask ourselves today whether the efforts of men accomplish much. Be thankful that we have the promise that even a cup of cold water in His name shall not want for its reward. We have so much to be grateful for our Christian homes, for the Bible, for the church, for Jesus Christ who lived and died and rose again that we might have life, for salvation, for love, love which we receive and the capacity that we have to give love. We must ask ourselves, as Dobbins points out, why do I have religious liberty when so many so often are deprived of it? Why am I well housed, well fed, and well clothed, while millions of my fellow men lack these necessities? Why do I enjoy luxuries while half of the people of the world live below the level of subsistence? Why do my children possess privileges and opportunities that are denied the majority of other children of the world? Why do I have the light of Christ while so many sit and live in darkness? But ask not only why, but what can I do about it? For the character of true thanksgiving consists in an attitude that calls for action, for thanksgiving every day along the way. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let us examine the characteristics of the gratitude we find in our hearts this morning. And then may we, with overflowing hearts, glorify God and prostrate ourselves before Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Feel grateful. But above all, live gratefully. Lord of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Our closing hymn is 490.
O Lord, for this day and for the opportunity to live this day, we give You most humble thanks. Dismiss us now with the power of Your love and the guidance of Your Spirit. Amen.